All right, Luke chapter number 9. In this chapter, and I think we'll be gracious to you on your schedule today, so I'm thinking so. In Luke chapter 9, our Savior interacts with his disciples in a variety of different ways. So in the whole chapter, he's dealing with his disciples, he's teaching them, and in every different interaction, he's teaching them something else. This is a very rich chapter, and every situation gives us a different glimpse of our own discipleship and how Jesus deals with us. So he's dealing with his disciples, and we see how they interact with him, and he deals with them, and now we understand that even today, we're interacting with him, and we're learning something. So let's look at the blessing of being Jesus' disciple. Isn't it great being Jesus' disciple? You know, when you serve the Lord, the first day after you get saved, that's the worst day of your Christian life. Every day just gets better, right? And the same is true with the devil. You know, you serve the devil, the first day is the best day because it just goes downhill from there. Amen? Oh my, right? So we get to serve the Lord. We get to be one of his disciples. A disciple is a disciplined follower, a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. So we are a disciple. There are four separate lessons I want to look at here in this chapter. And it begins at the first six verses. And the first lesson is this. Jesus Christ equips us to serve him. Look at verse 5. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against him. I'm sorry. Verse 1 through 6. So look at verse number 2. He sent them out to do what? Okay. So this is funny because sometimes I write an outline with glasses and then I refuse to wear them. And so us looks like V5. So it's verse 5, right? So that's my fault, okay? There you go. All right, see? That's why I don't wear them, okay? See, he sent them out to do what? Look at verse 2, okay? And he sent them to what? Preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's exactly what they did. Look at verse number 6. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel. Preaching Jesus is going to die for your sins. He's going to be buried, and he's going to rise again from the grave. That is the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. So they went out preaching the gospel, and then the Bible says that, and healing everywhere. So everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. People heard the gospel. Many, no doubt, trusted Christ as their Savior, and then they healed the sick. So he equipped them, and then he sent them. Now, verse number 1. Before he sent them, verse number 1, and he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So he said, okay, I'm equipping you. I'm giving you the power of God, and now I'm sending you out for a specific purpose. I want you to preach the kingdom, and I want you to heal people of their diseases. So that's exactly what they did. He equipped them with his power. God will never send us out to do a task without first giving us what we need. God said, I'm gonna give you something to do, but I'm going to give you the wherewithal to do it. And it's not what you have, it's what he gives you. You know, you look at the people in the Bible that God used, and God used some very simple people. Boy, I'm glad because I'm a simple person. God used some very simple people. God used some very ill-equipped, we would think, people. But God equipped them. God used Moses. You remember him? And he said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And Moses said, that's all, folks. I can't talk very good, right? He said, I am slow of speech. And he said, that's all right. I'll send Aaron. He's your brother. He can talk. And what did he have in his hand? God asked him, what do you have in your hand? He said, a rod. He just had a shepherd's staff. And God said, well, cast it down. And he threw it on the ground. Remember, it turned into a serpent. He said, now pick it up. I can imagine Moses said probably, God, I already can't hear very good. I can't talk very good. Now I think I can't hear either. Did you say pick it up? I'm not picking up a snake. And he picked it up, turned into a rod. And then you study that context and you find that that rod became the rod of God. It was Moses' rod, but God used it. It wasn't anything special except the power of God. God had Moses hold his hands up and the Red Sea parted. Moses didn't do it. God did it. You know, you come to a person like David, And you think, who was David? He was the last kid picked to be king, right? Samuel comes to the house. Hey, Jesse, bring your boys out here. We're going to anoint one of them to be the king. And he comes to Eliab, and God says, it's not him. Aminadab, that's not him. He goes through all seven. And he says, God told me that these boys aren't going to be the king, none of them. Do you have any more sons? You can have a baby? What's going on? David. He's up on the pasture there tending the sheep, but we didn't think he would ever be. He's not king material. Well, go fetch him, right? Bring him here. So they bring him, and God said, that's the one right there. I mean, the least likely. And God used him. And when he went to fight Goliath, you remember what he had? He had a slingshot. And the Bible doesn't tell us he used that slingshot to kill a lion and a bear. The Bible just tells us that God delivered a lion and a bear into his hands. He smote them. But he used a slingshot. We'd look at it and say, if I'm going to go fight a giant, I'm going to at least have a sword, a spear. I'm going to have a bazooka. I'm going to have an RPG. I'm going to have, you know, something, machine gun. I mean, come on. I'm fighting this guy. He's like 10 feet tall. And God says, no, you don't need that. I'm going to equip you. He took 5 smooth stones. You know, it's interesting. Goliath had 4 brothers, didn't he? Maybe that's what he's like, yeah, we're going to knock them all off. We're going to get the whole family. But God equipped him. God gave him his power. God gave him his strength. You look at all the different people in the Bible that God used. Many of them we wouldn't have chosen. Many of them we would have said, no, that's not. I'm going to use somebody that has it all together. I'm going to use somebody who I know they can succeed. God used here a bunch of fishermen. God used a former tax collector, an IRS agent, right? God used here a bunch of cursing, you know, illiterate probably, right? They were common people. They said these that have turned the world upside down. They were foolish. They were ignorant. They didn't know anything, but they knew Jesus. Unlearned, sorry, not foolish. They were unlearned and ignorant men. Now he equipped them with his power. If we are in his will, we will have his supply. God said, I want you to go. Jesus said, I want you to go, and I want you to preach the kingdom, and I want you to heal the sick. And God said, I'm going to, Jesus said, here is God, I'm going to supply your needs, not what you think you need, but what you think you need, he told them not to take. Did you notice that? Look at verse number 3. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, nor money, neither have 2 coats. Now, I would have said, okay, I'm packing, right? We're going on this preaching the gospel, you know, trip here. We're going to see people healed, and we're going to pack a big suitcase. I'm going to bring everything I think I need. You ever go on a trip, right, and you overpack, right? And then you go to the airport, and you weigh that thing, and it weighs too much, right? And you have to buy another ticket for your suitcase. But Jesus said here, don't bring what you think you need. I'm going to give you what you need. Bring 1 coat. But don't bring all these other things. What they were going to do, they couldn't do in the flesh. They couldn't preach the kingdom of God in the flesh and have God bless it. Only God can do that. They couldn't preach the gospel in the flesh and have God bless it. Only God can do that. They couldn't heal anybody. Only God can heal somebody. But Jesus said, I want you to go, but don't take what you think you need. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you power. Christ equips us to do his work. God's work is so incredible that you can't do it. But God will give us more by equipping us than we could do with our own equipping. He said, take nothing. Let me read a verse to you. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, when I first moved to town back in 1991, I thought, man, this is exciting. I can do this. And it wasn't long before I realized I can't do this. It wasn't long before I realized. I mean, I was kind of stubborn. It took me a few years, actually. It took me a few years of just failing and realizing, you know what, I can't do this because I have all these ideas and I have all these plans and I have all these dreams and goals and none of them happened. And God said, are you done yet? So I still got the suitcase. I got a lot of stuff in the suitcase. And God said, okay, well, let me know when you're you know, flat on your back, and that didn't work. And it took me a while. And finally, you know, God kind of ground me to powder and said, are you done yet? Come on, you're really stubborn here. Stop. Okay, I can't do this. God, if this is ever going to get done, you're going to have to do it. Thank God. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God equips us, but he doesn't always equip us the way we think we need to be equipped. You know, you ever tell God, I've done this, right? You probably never did. God, this is what I need. And God said, no, that's not what you need. God, this is what I want. And God says, you don't want that. And God says, this is what I need you to have. Really? I don't think that's going to work. And God said, good. Gideon, you're going to fight the Midianites. All right, great. One little, two little, three little army, man. Four little, five little, and go down and get a drink of water. You got too many. Too many. We don't have enough. Can't you do math? Oh, yeah, I can do math. Tell everybody who's afraid to go home. All right, God said, if you're afraid, go home. He's left with 10,000. Well, it was, you know, really bad odds before, but now it's impossible. And God says, well, not yet, but bring him down to get a drink of water. 9,700 get a drink of water the wrong way. And God says, okay, now you got 300 left. Yeah, this, I don't know what you're thinking, God, but this is never going to work. And God said, good, that's when I work, when you can't do it. When you realize it's absolutely impossible. And God says, now I'm going to give you the weaponry. Now we're talking, okay, grenade launchers, right? I don't know, what is it, tanks, something, you know, missiles. And God says, okay, first thing is you take a pitcher. Yep, okay. And then a trumpet, okay. And then a torch. That's it. Okay, I can't wait to see what you're going to do because I have no idea. And they never even, you know, fired a shot. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they won a victory. And the enemy defeats itself. Wow, God equipped them. But he didn't give them what they think they need. He gave them what he wanted them to have. Because I would have never picked that. All right, we're going into the armory. We're going to pick out our stuff. All right, great. Okay, that's far enough. Water jugs? Yeah, that's it. Come on, let's go back out. We'll get a kindling pile. We'll get a torch going. Get a trumpet here. Everybody, what are we going to have? Revelry, right? Number two, when God equips us, Christ also enables us. Look at verse 7. Luke chapter 9, verse number 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because that it was said of them, some, that John was risen from the dead. And of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And all the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. Now, that was their idea, right? They said, hey, everybody's got to go home and get something to eat. And he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples, and set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled. And when there was taken up of fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. Christ enables us. Now look at John chapter 6. Okay, keep your place here. Put a marker in there. Look at John chapter 6. Now, the same account is given in John chapter 6 with a few more details, and it's familiar. You'll realize it when you see it. How could 12 men feed all those people? They said, Jesus, we have a great idea. Everybody's hungry. Send them away. They can go to McDonald's. They can go to, you know, Burger King. They can go and get something to eat. Have it your way, right? They can go get something to eat. There's way too many people here to feed all these people. And Jesus said, why? Why can't you feed them? Well, we only have 5 barley loaves. And then the Bible says 2 small fishes, like the one that you catch, right? Like the one that got away from me, right? Small fishes, okay? Look at John chapter 6, verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Same account, same thing. This is where the 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes came. The disciples shook down a little kid for his lunch. They said, hey, this kid has a lunch. Maybe he volunteered it, right? He said, hey, we're looking for some food. He says, well, I've got a lunch, right? Children have faith. Maybe he volunteered his lunch and he said, here, if Jesus wants it, he can have it. Maybe that boy, maybe it was the boy's faith. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe his faith was so great. Can you imagine the story that he had to tell when he got home? I don't know. They had 12 baskets of fragments that remained. Maybe they gave him one. I don't know. Maybe like Brother Randall. Thank you, Brother Randall, for that food yesterday. I had a fragment that remained this morning. It was so good. And maybe he brought home a basket. He's like, Mom, look what I got. And she probably went, where did you steal that from? Right? I thought I told you to be honest. We don't have anything in this house but little bread loaves. He goes, I know Jesus. You're never going to believe it. Don't go telling stories again. Jesus took my lunch and he multiplied. I mean, at least he told the story, right? He might not have had a basket, but boy, he sure had a testimony. Jesus took that lunch that I had, and the disciples took it away from me. Or maybe he volunteered it, and Jesus prayed over it, and he broke it up, and they passed it out. 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Now think about that. How many men does the Bible say they were? 5,000. Okay, 1,000 of you are going to share a loaf. We think of a loaf of bread probably like at 4 in the morning before you wake, wholesome bread is being baked, right? That big loaf, right? 26 slices in it, whatever it is. This was probably a kid's lunch. It was probably a little dinner roll. Okay, 1,000 of you. What are we going to do? Get a crumb? How are you going to do that? It's like the Lord's Supper, right? Like, okay, I'm hungry. All right, they had a problem in the Bible with that too, didn't they? Don't eat at home, okay? Everybody's going to get a crumb? 1 small fish for 2,500 men. What are we going to do? Sniff it? Okay, you got your fish, your fish oil, right? It's coming by. All right, grab it quick. There might not be anything left. 2,500 men. Did Jesus know the answer to his question? John 6, verse number 5. He said, I'm asking you a question, but I already know what I'm going to do. I'm just testing you. They said 200 pennyworth of bread isn't enough. If you think about that, that's about a pennyworth is the equivalent of a day's wages. If we had 200 days' wages, almost a good part of a year of income wouldn't feed all these people. And you're going to feed them a 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish? They could only do this through the Lord enabling them. They didn't do it. They just yielded the little that they had. God wants to use you and God wants to use me, but we have to yield the little that we have. Sometimes we're hanging on to that lunch so tight, and the Lord says, can I have your lunch and can I do something with it? Oh, if I give it to you, I won't have anything. I'm going to need this. And Jesus said, I could do more if you'd give it to me. The Lord did the miracle. The Lord can do more with our yielded little than we could do with a whole bunch that we keep to ourselves. All they did was distribute the blessing. They didn't multiply the fish. They didn't multiply the loaves. Jesus did it. But they had to give it to him. That boy had to give it to the disciples. Somebody had to give the loaves and fish to Jesus. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could give our little loaves and fish to Jesus and say, Jesus, it's not much, it's all I have, but it's yours. It's not much, it's all I have, but all I have belongs to you. You can do whatever you want with it. And I pray that you bless it. And sometimes you might have to break it. Sometimes my life has to be broken for the Lord to use me. God can do more with what we have yielded than we can do if we keep it all. I might need that. The Lord says, I'd like to be a blessing to a lot of people. Would you give it to me? Verse 17. And they did eat and were all filled. That's a miracle. I mean, here's a Baptist meeting, right? You ever see a potluck dinner, right? I mean, there's nothing left. You know, everything's gone. They licked the platter clean, right? They did all eat and were all filled. This is a miracle, right? That just didn't happen. Five barley loaves and two small fish. I don't even get filled off of that. I'm sorry, but you know, where would that... Long John Silver's, right? I got to try that. Anybody try, what is that, Dave's Spicy Chicken or something on South Willow Street? What is that? Anybody try, is that pretty good? Is that good? I was going to go there one day, but then my wife would wonder why I didn't eat supper, so I waited. So I'll take her out. But if you can't eat that, I'll be your designated eater, okay? D-E, that's me. Five barley loaves and two small fish. That's my roommate in college used to go to White Castle. I've never been to White Castle and have no intention of going, okay? He used to buy 10 cheeseburgers. They call them sliders. Anybody ever see those? Anybody ever hear them? Okay. They're just little grease balls with onions on them. Okay. Hopefully nobody likes those. He would get 10. He'd come back with his bag, and it like stunk. The minute he walked in the dorm, he could smell it. It's like, oh, what is that rancid smell? Did you get White Castle? And then he would eat them, and we literally made him sleep out in the hallway. You are sleeping in the hallway. You just reek of onions, and I don't even know what it is, mystery meat. You know, it takes a lot to fill me up, 10 barley loaves, 5 barley loaves, and 2 small fishes, and yet everybody was full. Why? Because the Lord did a miracle. There was more left over when they were done than there was when they started. 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish is 7. There were 12 baskets full when they got done. That's a miracle. Why? Because Christ enables us. He gives us what we need. He takes what we have, and yielded, it's multiplied. Verse number 16. After Jesus blessed it and broke it, he gave it back. That boy got some food because he was part of the multitude. He got more back. He was filled. He got more back when he yielded what he had. What the disciples yielded to Christ, he blessed and broke and gave it back. You know, sometimes God wants to give us back what we yield, but we have to yield it first. We're not willing to give it to him first. They gave everyone as much as they would. What's Jesus looking for today? Today, our Savior is looking for clean, empty, willing hands that he can fill. Look at the next thing, verse 18. So we see, first of all, Christ equips us. Second of all, Christ enables us. Thirdly, verse number 18, Christ encourages us. Look at verse number 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man this thing, that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud, and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Number three. Christ encourages us. This is what we call, what is this called, this miracle where Moses and Elias come? He's glistering, right? The transfiguration, right? Christ is transfigured in front of them. He's radiant. He's glowing. When you experience the glory of God, the demands of discipleship become a blessing. You know, sometimes we can get so burdened down with, oh, I'm saved and I'm serving God, and it's such a drudgery and it's so hard and it's such a burden. But when you see the glory of God, that burden is light. When you see the glory of God, you're like, you know what? What was I complaining about? I get to serve God. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Heaven is my home. I'm already seated in heavenly places. Hey, listen, we already won. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're saved this morning, so is yours. The game is fixed. We already won. We're just running up the score. The outcome's already given. We're going to heaven. Don't be discouraged. Experience the glory of God. The demands of discipleship will become a blessing. Verse 32 said they were heavy with sleep. In verse number 33, they were excited and they were ambitious. What happened? They saw the glory of God. They heard the voice of God soon. The voice of God, this is my beloved Son. The glory of God, seeing him for who he is, will carry you through the trials of life with joyful obedience. But what is the key? The key is verse number 23. And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. And follow me. Daily. Discipleship is a daily decision. Salvation is once, forever. Eternal life, everlasting life. Discipleship is a daily decision. Am I going to deny myself today? Or am I going to say yes to myself? Am I going to follow Christ today, or am I going to do what I want to do? Notice an unusual thing. Verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruiseth him, hardly departing from him. Now besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And when he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at this thing which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Number one, Christ equips us. He sent them out to preach the kingdom. He sent them out to heal diseases, and he gave them the power of God. Christ enables us. They yielded the little that they had. He blessed it. He broke it. He multiplied it. He gave it back to them. He enabled them. They didn't do it. He did. Christ encourages us. When we see the glory of God, when we see Christ for who he is, it will carry us through the trials of life with joy. Number four, Christ endures us. Now that kind of sounds funny, doesn't it? He puts up with us. Can you imagine? I mean, everything was going really good till God created man, right? Everything was good. He said it was good. He even said it was good when he created man. And then man came on the scene. God has had nothing but problems ever since, right? Sin came into the world. He endures us. I'm glad he endures us. He bears with our unbelief and our failure, verse 42. He bears with our spiritual blindness, verse 43, 44, and 45. He said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. What did they do? Verse 45, they understood not. He's teaching them over and over, and they didn't get it. Sometimes we don't get it, and he bears with us. He keeps teaching us the lesson, doesn't he? I'm glad God didn't get through with me ever. He said, look, you're kind of slow, but I'm going to keep working with you, okay? Sometimes you don't always get it, but I'm just going to tell you again, okay? Oh, you really messed that up, but here, let's get back on your feet again, okay? Let's get back, let's dust you off, and let's point you in the right direction, okay? Here, I'm going to pat you on the back. Go! Keep going. Look at verse 46. What else does he deal with? He deals with our pride. And there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. I mean, can you imagine? Jesus just said, you guys, none of you are very great. Okay, then they're arguing, oh, I'm greater. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to sit there. And there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their heart, took a child and set him by him. And said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. He bears with our pride. Then look at verse 49. He bears with our lack of love. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. They didn't have a lot of patience, did they? They have a lot of compassion. Jesus said, no, don't burn them up. I didn't come to burn people up. I came to save people. He bears with our lack of love. Sometimes we all have a lack of love. And Jesus said, look, I love like I loved. Love through me. And then he bears with our lack of dedication. Look at verse number 57. And it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He bears with our lack of dedication. Everybody had an excuse, didn't they? Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow. You're plowing. When you plow, you look at a post, or you look at a rock or something on the other side of the field, and you plow directly toward that mark. If you look back, you're going to be like when you drive and you look over your shoulder, right? Somebody's going to be honking at you in the other lane, right? Jesus said, look, focus on where you're supposed to be going. Focus on me. Focus on the kingdom of God. Focus on your future. Don't draw a crooked line by looking over your shoulder. But he said, everybody has an excuse. Here's the final thought. Is Jesus blessing you? He blessed his disciples, right? Or is he bearing with you? Thank God we're his disciple either way. But I want to make it easier for him, don't you? I want to make it easier. First of all, are you his disciple? Do you know Christ as your Savior? That's the starting point. You can't be a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ if you don't have him as your Savior. But after we trust him as our Savior, he wants us to be his disciple. Let's make it easy. Parents that have more than one child especially, right? Some children are easy, right? And some children, I mean, maybe you never had an easy one, okay? But, you know, some other people's kids, right? You've seen it, and they just look at them like, and they start crying like they don't want to displease their parents, right? And others, you got to wear them out. I mean, they think of things like, how could you even think of that? I can't even get ahead of that. And sometimes, God can always think of things, right? But sometimes, we're not always that easy one where the Lord says, hey, Dave Carlson, stop it. And I go, oh, yes, sir. I'm right on that. I'm sorry I even started. Sometimes he has to really get after us, doesn't he? Let's make it easy on him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to serve.